You're listening to Off the Record here on 103.2 Dublin City FM with myself, Heather McLeod. Now she famously harmonised with Annie Lennox, touring with the Eurythmics. She has added her vocal abilities to, amongst others, the Waterboys, Alison Moye, and successful post-punk outfit Gang of Four. She's released many records over the years, including Eddie Reader, Angels and Electricity, and Songs of Robert Burns. And she's returning to Ireland once again this February for an array of gigs as she releases her newest album, Vagabond, on the 7th of February. And I'm delighted to welcome to the show fellow Glaswegian singer, musician and writer Eddie Reader. So Eddie, thanks a million for joining me on the programme.
Oh, hello Hen, how are you?
Not bad, not bad. I've got to watch, you see, because the problem is when I start interviewing people with the Scottish accents, I start to speak a lot more quickly and then people say, what are you saying, you know? But I try and get all the great, you know, Scottish people on the programme. We've had the Proclaimers, we've had Hugh and Cry, and we've had various people. So I thought it's definitely time we get Eddie Reader
thank you.
On the show. No problem at all. So as I said there, you've had a long career so far, and you've had a very successful career, and it's not many musicians, in fairness, who are able to keep that longevity and the kind of consistency of good albums and gigging and all the rest of it. So what do you think it is? What do you think your secret ingredient is, I suppose?
I'm not really expecting too much. I just kind of like to work well, and I've noticed that people tend to come back to see me, and that sort of suits me. I'm kind of happy with that. I love praise, and I love it when people kind of love the album and all that, and or the anything I've done. If people, you know, kind of pat me on the back for that, I'm a sucker for flattery, but I'm absolutely sure it's to do with just my work ethic. It's a very Glaswegian trait,
I think.
To just, you know, get your head down and do it right. And if you're doing anything, do it with, you know, complete intention to do the best that you can do. And, you know, I'm never lazy when it comes to being musical. I'll sometimes spend days thinking about something, a wee tiny verse of something, you know, without sometimes eating food.
Right, okay.
It's kind of good to get on the road as well, because it keeps me healthy. It's only on the road I don't have to be concerned about the upkeep of a home, and I don't have to wash any towels, and I also can make sure I've got lots of water around me, whereas when I'm at home I forget to drink water, I forget to eat or whatever.
It's so just that as well kind of that thing, you keep going then, isn't it, really?
That's how I keep going, is just keep working, keep kind of... But, I mean, I don't think it's anything that I could not do, to be honest. Even if I worked in a shop, or if I was a librarian, I'd be kind of thinking in my head constantly about a musical expression. I just seem to have been wired that way.
Yeah, and as you mentioned Glasgow there, you actually spent quite a few years in London, but came back to Glasgow, I think, around 2001, and then you did the classic Songs of Burns album, which went very well for you. Were you concerned about going back to Glasgow, though, that you're kind of slightly out of the loop of London, if you know what I mean?
Well, I really longed for home for years, actually. I never, you know, when you first go to London, you know, everybody of my age, they all saw that was where you went. It was like the big bottleneck for the rest of the country. We'd all go there to make our fortune. I was very interested in the fact that you could sign on and they'd give you a wee bit extra dough money, because it was called London Waiting. I was quite, what's going on down there? You know, you even get more money on the dough if you live there. And I just sort of thought, right, that's the place to end up, really, if you were wanting to work musically, because that's where you'd get all the sessions and all that. And I mean, I was kind of really just putting one foot in front of the other, and that I ended up in London was because there was nothing going on in where I came from, and that was what was really sad for me at the time, that there wasn't really the opportunities at home. And I think it's different now. I think within our communities we have this, the internet's brilliant for that, you know, you can actually do a concert transmit it across the planet on the internet, or you can talk directly to people in Japan and France and Brazil, whatever, Dublin even. You know, you don't have to be having to be sort of managed by a corporation in London to get the publicity out anymore.
Yeah, yeah. And I was reading an interesting thing here as well about you. You ended up buying a piano that Tom Waits once played for half an hour.
Yeah. Well, that's what they told me in the shop. Yeah. So I didn't then he wheeled out another one and gave it to another sucker.
Right.
But actually, it's a beautiful piano, and he came to Edinburgh to play a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And there's a piano shop down at the bottom of the street that he was playing in. And apparently the shop was sort of locked for Tom, and Tom got in and he wanted to buy these special little pianos from the 70s, and there was three of them, and he played the three of them for, well, actually more than half an hour, a good wee while, and then he bought two and left one, so I've got the one that he left.
That's nice.
Just thought it would make a really great Christmas present for my husband, who's a total Tom Waits fanatic. So
he never lets you clean that.
I'll never be able to get a share of that if he divorces me. No, that's right. We'll never be able to chop it in half.
No, no. And he'll not let you run a towel over it either now in case you take the fingerprints off, you know?
The funniest thing with that is that I've got a typical lovely Scottish husband, and he didn't notice that the piano was in the living room from November. It was for his Christmas present, and I got it delivered in about November the 15th, and I just covered it in a big towel, a big red blanket, and I put a plant pot on it and a couple of pictures, and he didn't notice it. He didn't even know it was there. It's kind of in the way of the telly, he would notice it. You know, if it was in the way of the football, he might have seen it, but he didn't see it till. And then finally, Christmas morning, and I said to my mum, you know, he doesn't know it's there, Mum. She couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
And we were like, right, okay, you can get your Christmas present if you can find it. It's in the room. So we did that hot and cold game, and then he finally found it. But yeah, I've been writing on that piano, and it's been great to have it. You know, I've been using it a lot, and it's lovely in the family because, unlike an electric keyboard, you just go and sit at it naturally and you just start improvising all the time.
And moving, I suppose, onto the album we were mentioned there before, Vagabond, which is out here on February 7th there next week, and then you're over doing some gigs, which we'll give a mention to in a minute. But tell me a bit about that. I was reading that you collected, I think, all in over a couple of years, around 26 songs, was it? And then you narrowed it down to around 14?
Yeah, we've got 27. The other ones just aren't ready yet. Some of them are. One of them is, one or two I regret that are not already out because they're beautiful and I love them, and I don't know how to get them out, you know, until I've done a new album, and that, you always have to wait a wee while before you can get that sorted out. Probably, you know, I'm just gonna hope that well, they'll find their way whatever it is, they'll find their way out. But yeah, the album was it was just one of those this last year there where I spent time with that piano, and then I kind of got the band together for two sessions over a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
1 week in January and 1 week, I think, in April.
And I was reading that around Celtic Connections, actually, because that's a brilliant time. That's one of my top three things I miss about Glasgow is going to that, and it's a great time where all those kind of musicians all come together.
It's pretty remarkable.
Yeah.
I've actually had I've stayed away this year. I don't know why. I've not gone over to, I think probably just, I just thought, I don't know, I'm just gonna have a rest from Celtic Connections this year. But it is hard. If you walk down Sucky Hall Street, you'll meet Tony Byrne or Manus Lunny or, you know, the Capper Cayley Bunch or the Altan Bunch or a Canadian Lot or, you know, Crooked Cell, or there'll be all these people at the Transatlantic Sessions, Jerry Douglas. You'll meet them all just in the restaurant or the pub or the whatever, and the hotel bar, and Phil Cunningham is, will be holding court, and that's it. You'll be up all night. There's just no escaping it. So I just thought I'd just have a bit of a holiday from that. I mean, and a lot of people are kind of shouting and going, where is she? What's going on? There's a few people that have asked me to do something with them, and I've just kind of stepped back, you know. Because I think for me, it's nice to sort of step back and have a look at something, and see what it is that it actually does to you. I enjoy Celtic Connections like everybody else, but do you know, it's enormous what it's done for folk music, and also for music between musicians. Just amazing that it's created a real bond between everybody, you know.
And I was reading as well, at the end of the album, you went and you, I read here, symbolically chucked a bottle with a message in it off the pier at Clyde Bank. Is this something you do with every album, or is it?
No, just this one. This one got that treatment. Okay. I just happened to be at this little bit of the pier where, you know, it's the old shipyard and there isn't any. There's quite kind of bar in there, but they had a little bit of woods jutting out. So, and there was a bottle with a screw top, and so I just put a wee message, you know, good luck to this album and good luck to the world and all that. And I threw it in the water, and then walked past a group of five little boys, and got to the car and found that they'd nicked my purse.
Oh, jeepers!
That was the first thing that happened. After my romantic vision, my life does feel like that sometimes. I have all these romantic colorations of life, and then something will bring me right back down to earth.
No. I thought you were going to say they took the bottle out or something. Not that
I'd already chucked that in the water. That's already gone off to wherever it is in the mid-Atlantic.
Yeah. And somebody might get that in years to come, and then it'll be worth lots and lots of money, you know?
Oh, I hope it's me then.
I come back to you. So the album, like we said there, Vagabond, is out on the 7th of February here in Ireland. And I was watching, there's a video, I think, for one of the tracks I was watching called Baby's Boat on YouTube at the moment.
Did you see me?
That I did was me see at you. My actually most... quite liked the video. It's very colourful and bright.
We were doing it with, we were trying to just catch the sun, and it was the middle of December or something, but I mean, we were trying to catch the sun, and it was beautiful over by Inverclyde, that's where we went, and I had this glittery dress that a fiddle player called Katrina Mackay, I think, she's in the Blazing Fiddles, anyway, she gave me this dress because she couldn't be bothered with it anymore, and I was at my... Let's say my, you know that lyric in Auld Lang Syne, surely you'll be your pint stoup. Do you know what it means? Surely you'll be your pint stoup, and surely I'll be mine. Well, it means that your belly's a wee bit big. So I'd been, and it means that when you're middle-aged, you know. So I'm middle-aged now, and my belly tends to go up and down. Sometimes it's flatter than others, hormonally speaking. Right. And on this day, it was sticking out a wee bit, and I thought, well, this is perfect for this dress because, you know, I look like I'm pregnant, and the whole song is about baby's boat, being that you're telling your baby off you go and be a human being in the world, and I was musing on that, and I thought, well, that's my excuse for that. I'll just say that it was art. I was a wee bit hefty because it was art, and I was quite glad of it, actually.
It's a nice, bright video as well for this time of year, you know?
Aye, and also, you know, just beautiful Scotland. Me and John just roam about this place and film lots of gorgeous bits of it, you know, when we can.
It does have Ireland, I guess, and Scotland get compared a lot, but a lot of people will always say the scenery in Scotland has possibly just got that edge, you know?
I think certainly up in Argyll, and although, you know, I've seen amazing places like the Mountains of Mourne, all that bit, beautiful there, dramatic. But I also think that Scotland's got this kind of dramatic thing going on. It's so it is like the Wuthering Heights movie, you know.
Yeah. So I guess we'll give the information out here. Vagabond is out on 7th of February, so that's next week. You're over here in Ireland from the 11th of February right through to the 22nd, with various dates. I suppose for people here in Dublin, it's Thursday the 13th of February in Vicar Street, and you're also going to be in Galway, Waterford, Westmeath, Sligo, Leitrim, Cork, Kerry, Clare and Kildare, and they'll all be up on your website. So that's, you've got a fair few dates there, nine or ten gigs there in about 11 days.
I'm really, one of the songs in the album is called Back the Dogs, and I taped my Tralee County Kerry granny in 1985 telling me a story about Tralee and how she used to back the dogs at the dog track in Rock Street in Tralee. And so I turned it into a wee song called Back the Dogs. Mm-hmm. So I can't wait to get to Tralee and sing them their song.
They'll love it. They'll love it.
Yeah.
So they can get all the information there at www.eddiereader.co.uk. Like we said, you're over here from the 11th to 22nd of February. We'll see you in Dublin on the 13th of February in Vicar Street. That'll be a good gig, great venue up there.
And brilliant. I'll be doing the album, and then I'll do, you know, I'll do bits and pieces from the album, and then, and you know, I'll be doing lots of like the Burns and the Fairground stuff, mm-hmm. and all the songs that kind of capture my heart, really.
Great stuff. Well, we really look forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks' time, and best of luck with the album.
God bless. Thank you.